The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today.
So yet another new report on housing today, this time from the ESRI, which is projecting we need anywhere between 35,000 and 53,000 new homes per annum between now and 2030. Except we, of course, recently had the Housing Commission report, which was suggesting that the demand and the need is going to be way, way higher than that. Could be up as much as 80,000 a year. We're joined by the Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage, Dara O'Brien. Good evening to you, Minister.
Good evening, Matt. How are you?
Good. Now, this report, is this the answer you were looking for? You know the way it said, never commission a report unless you know what the answer was going to be. That this eases the pressure on the government in that the target, the maximum target, is lower than what the Housing Commission said.
No, not at all. I think, look, firstly, just to thank the ESRI for their work and Dr. Adele Bergen and Dr. Paul Egan in particular. It's a very detailed piece of work. They issued it, as you know, earlier this morning. And it does speak to the complexity of this. They've given 12 different scenarios, but you've outlined it effectively. They've given a high migration scenario that we might need between 41 and 53,000 homes per year. And if the low migration scenario were to come through, you're talking in the region of 35,000. So I think the overall average is about 44,000. To be fair to them, though, Matt, and they have said this doesn't deal with the pent-up demand piece. And many times on your show, since I had the pleasure of taking over as minister 4 years ago, I've been clear with people to say we've been dealing with 10 years of significant undersupply. And whilst Housing for All is catching up, and we are, and we're exceeding our targets, we have to take account of what people would refer to as the pent-up demand. And what I'll do is I'll use this report, the Housing Commission report as well. And indeed, we did another report from the Central Bank actually as well, which had another figure in relation to what the pent-up demand would be. And we will include that in our revised targets that I will publish in September, October this year. And they will take effect from 2025. So, no, I think the ESRI, a very detailed piece of work, they average about 44,000 per annum. In my response today, just so I could, you know, give people an idea for what ballpark we're probably looking at, I've mentioned a figure that I would think, taking in the pent-up demand that's there, we would be looking at from next year, you know, getting to from 50,000 homes upwards. But
sorry, Minister, is that going to happen, given that it seems that the amount of planning permissions going in this year has fallen a bit?
I think it will, to be fair. Like, if I just look back at the last 12 months, actually, Matt, we've commenced over 52,000 new homes in a 12-month period up to the end of last month, the month of May. So, like, that is an unprecedented amount that we haven't seen for decades now. So, you know, we are building up a very strong supply. Last year, in completions, the homes finished last year, we did just short of 33,000. I'm projecting that we will do mid to high 30s this year. And I suppose if someone was talking to me 4 years ago when the state, you know, the whole sector was only building 20,000 homes a year, we've taken a big leap forward. Big leap forward in social housing, in affordable housing. Last year we did 4,000 affordable homes. I think we'll do 6,000 this year. First-time buyers now buying about 500 a week, drawing down mortgages, the highest amount since 06. But having said all that, and whilst that is obviously very positive, there are still people out there who are not feeling that yet, who we still are dealing with, you know, a legacy issue of unmet demand over a 10-year period. We need to catch up. We are doing so. But that's why I think the reset in the targets for the remainder of the decade is very important. So we reflect that pent-up demand. And we're also looking at, thankfully, a growing population. So the population is growing more than would have been projected. And the ESRI, to be fair to them, have based their research on the 2022 census data and have done a really good job in that regard.
Okay, there's so many things there that I want to get back to in relation to, but let me just start there at the end and the census data, because the county development plans that many local authorities are working under when it comes to granting permissions were based on a previous census, became hopelessly out of date. Mm-hmm. So are you going to get all the counties to revise those figures dramatically upwards, particularly in the outer Greater Dublin region?
Yeah, that is likely. Just to answer your question directly, we're very shortly, I'll publish the draft national planning framework. Now, what the national planning framework does is actually set effectively where we want to build our homes, where population is growing, ensuring that there's a regional balance. And I undertook that work on foot of the census data as well. So I expect a significant revision to the national planning framework. And that will, the work that's been done on housing targets feed into that too. So, yes, I will be writing to local authorities, I would expect, in the autumn of this year, where some of them will have to revise their...
Minister, this all sounds really slow, because none of this is new to anybody who's been following this in recent years. It has been known for years that those targets in the county development plans were so low that they were just ridiculous. That, in fact, you had viable planning permissions been lost. You were getting land being dezoned when it was quite clear that it was going to be needed for housing. So you're now talking about taking this report and that report and putting them together and writing to councils who might then take time before they might do something next year. That's not going to get houses and apartments built, is it?
Well, no, that's not what we're doing, Matt. I say that respectfully to you. If you look at since I took over as minister, we've up to the end of the first quarter of this year, we've built over 110,000 new homes. That's about 300,000 people in homes that didn't exist only 4 years ago. And we're going to do more. We're going to do a significant number this year. If I take Dublin as an example, like the city and county where I live, I can look at the development plans for Dublin and Cork and the surrounding areas, and they have actually zoned additional lands. They may need to do more. But in Dublin alone, we've about 50,000 plus in unactivated planning permissions. And that's a piece I've been working on too, with getting the state to partner with the private sector, particularly to build out apartments. And we're seeing that now in Cork, the largest apartment development for purchase now in Blackrock of 274 apartments actually being built. We're seeing apartments being built back in Dublin, Limerick, Cork and Galway as well, and Waterford indeed. So basically, our pipeline is good. And no question about that. What we're looking at is the next this development plan cycle actually runs for 6 years. So the National Planning Framework was due to be reviewed. No one delayed that. We've actually sped that up, if anything. And in some local authorities, we'll be looking for them to make regard to that. What I have also ensured in the Planning and Development Bill that's going through the Dáil and Seanad, actually in the Seanad at the moment, is that a reason for refusal of a planning permission could not be solely based on a county reaching its housing target and planning permissions. And that's an amendment that was brought forward by government as well. So I think in fairness, it's not just development plans. We've got to have an efficient planning system. That's why I've focused so much on the planning and development legislation, which is the largest and most significant reform of planning law at least since the year 2000, intend to get that passed very shortly. We need to do that and to get that done so we have a planning system that's efficient, that's consistent in its approach, that provides clarity and certainty to make sure that we can deliver the homes that we need, but also the strategic infrastructure, the schools that we need, the roads, the public transport system that we need. So, you know, we've made good progress in the last 4 years. We want to step that up again this year, which I believe we will. The work from the ESRI, to get back to the original point you make, is very informative and will feed into the revised housing targets. And just to say this on targets, in every year of Housing for All, we've exceeded our targets. The target has never been the ceiling, it's been the floor. So whilst we're resetting these targets, we're still building more social than we've done for 50 years, more affordable.
Enough social, surely. What is it, 4,000 to 6,000 a year social houses? No. Isn't the demand much higher than that?
Sorry, significantly more than that, Matt. Actually, last year we built in new housing terms over 8,000 new social homes, and we delivered through our various streams just short of 12,000 new social homes. That's the highest amount in over 50 years, and we've a really good pipeline this year.
But sorry, why 50 years ago the country was in poverty by comparison with now? Mm-hmm. If it was possible to build multiples of social homes back then, why is it not possible to do so now?
It is possible, and as I said to you, that's what we're doing. But if I just go back less than a decade, if I look at 2016, in the whole housing portfolio, only €400 million was committed to housing. This year, it's €5.1 billion. More than 11 times what was done less than 10 years ago. So, you know, it's not just the ambition and the plan, we're implementing it. So, yes, we are building more social homes for 50 years. And affordable housing, because I want people to be able to buy their own homes.
Ah, yeah, affordable. I'm glad you got to that, because how can a three-bed home on Oscar Traynor Road out in Coolock cost €475,000? Who's that going to be affordable to?
No, I think, Matt, the Oscar Traynor site's a really important one. It sat idle for over 30 years, was objected to by many politicians, indeed, over that period of time. We're building 851 new homes there. a mix of social cost rental, which is long-term affordable rental, and yes, affordable purchase. And actually, the range there is from 264,000 to 399,000, depending on the size of the house. Now, what I didn't do in the affordable housing scheme is put in an arbitrary salary cap, like others would like to do. So a small number of those homes, depending on what your income is, if someone's earning 106,000, they will pay more for the home and the state will hold less equity. So it's a trade-off, because in this scheme in particular, the state, on your behalf and your listeners' behalf, I'm investing 120 million euro in that scheme. So people will be able to, low and middle incomes, buy homes there from 266,000. So if they need more state equity, they get it. If they don't, they'll pay more and they'll get less state equity. And these homes will sell. And thankfully, these are ones of thousands of affordable homes being built. Ballymastone in Donabate being others. We have about 6,000 affordable homes under construction across the country through our local authorities and through the Land Development Agency, Shangana in South Dublin, St. Kevin's in Cork, Davoy Barracks. I could go on, and none of these had started. This scheme wasn't even in place 4 years ago, and we've stepped it up in a very significant way. So the Affordable Housing Fund is a flexible fund that doesn't say to a family that are earning 90,000, you can't buy a home, but allows them to pay more down on the equity than a lower income family, but that both can still access that housing. And that's the right thing to do, and that's the way it should be.
Can you build homes for an average of 300,000 euro?
In some instances, we are. It's very difficult to do because the houses that are being built right now, and anyone will see the houses and apartments that are around the country, are of really good quality, A-rated homes. And in some of our affordable schemes, depending on the house type, so some of our one bedrooms in Lusk, for argument's sake, start at 166,000. But the average build cost of a three-bed home, and this is if you're averaging out the land price, is about anything between 348 and 368,000. And that's the cost. So someone to say that they can build homes for 300,000 regardless of where they are is not true.
Well, Sinn Féin says it's possible, and Eoghan O'Brien says he'll do it if he's the housing minister.
Well, okay, I knew where the question was coming from, because Eoghan O'Brien and his party haven't even produced a housing plan, and we're 4 years into this government.
Sure, he's coming down with plans. All he does is talk about his housing plans.
He told the Sunday Independent over a year ago that he would publish the plan. He came into the Dáil and that was 14 months ago, and he still is not. He came into the Dáil a number of weeks ago and said he would publish it. Mary Lou MacDonald said she would bring all the house prices in Dublin down to 300,000 and deliver homes at 300,000.
Has she clarified that now?
I think that was a bit of a rollback. Clarification is you being kind. I think, Matt, in this regard, she rolled back from it and said, no, I deliver them under affordable housing scheme. I have an affordable housing scheme that's in place, that's published, that's delivering homes, that's there. The only thing I've seen in the threadbare Sinn Féin sort of two-page manifesto that they put together was bringing forward a leasehold scheme where people wouldn't own the ground that the property was built on, and they would restrict who you sell that property to, that you have to sell it back to the state. And it would also, the last affordable scheme I saw from Sinn Féin had a salary cap for a couple on 80,000 euro. So your average nurse and your guard and combined incomes wouldn't be able to access their scheme. The only thing I know about Sinn Féin's policies is the measures I brought in for first-time buyers, the Help to Buy grant of 30,000 euro, the First Home Scheme, which bridges the gap between the finance you have and what you need, and even the vacancy grant, all three of those that's helped tens of thousands of householders, new homeowners. The only thing Sinn Féin have said is that they would abolish all of them. So that's all I can take from them. I've seen no alternative to what we've put forward. The only thing I've seen is opposition to the measures that are working. That's why we're seeing first-time buyers buying at a rate that we haven't seen since 06. Now, do we have more to do, Matt? Yes, we do. Is everyone feeling these changes? No, they're not. But what I would say to you, I think by any fair assessment, if you look from where we started in 2020 to where we are now in relation to overall housing supply, social housing provision, affordable housing provision, and more affordable rents through cost rental that didn't even exist a number of years ago.
There's one other thing I want to ask you about before we finish. The role of institutions in providing the finance for the construction of apartment blocks, and mini apartment blocks, but also housing estates, and whether they would be required to sell those on an individual basis then to owners, or whether they would be continuing with this thing of renting them and setting expensive rents for people.
Well, Back in 2021, I brought forward the owner-occupier guarantee. So effectively for houses and duplexes, I banned bulk purchase. So we've had over 50,000 planning permissions since 2021 that have a condition in the permissions that they can only be sold to individual people. And that is working. Over 50,000 permissions are in place. Now, the cases that your listeners and you will know about, two in particular, were legacy ones that had been prior to the changes I made in planning law in 2021. Now, do we need investment though, Matt? Yes, we do. And we need investment in the right places. We need private investment to fund delivery of housing estates to develop them. And we also need investment, particularly for apartments, because we do need a rental market too. I have brought in the rent pressure zones. I actually didn't bring them in, but I reduced them to 2%, and we've kept them in place to the end of next year. And thankfully, because we have cost rental in place now, we are seeing a lot of interest in, instead of just build to rent, build to cost rental. And what that is, a scheme that effectively the rents are 25% below market. The state are co-investors in it. You get long-term secured tenancy. And we've over about 2,000 tenancies approved under that scheme right now. So do we need private investment?
Okay.
Yes, we do, unquestionably, because we've just spoken about housing targets there, you know, based on the ESRI work. Right now, to deliver about 34,000 homes, we need combined investment of about 13 to 14 billion a year. The state's giving 5 billion. So the other does come from the private sector. So you're 8 to 9 billion. So if we increase housing targets, which we will do, it goes with that you're going to require increased state investment, but increased private investment. And
okay.
I make no bones about it. We need both.
Thank you, Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.